From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, May 20th. Coming up, tens of millions of rural Americans still don't have access to high-speed internet. We'll hear from some of the people bringing rural broadband to remote areas coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Nutrient pollution from chemical fertilizer is affecting recreational and drinking water across the Midwest. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, a new study confirms a method for reducing that pollution.
When it rains on a typical Midwestern farm field, water is piped off the field via tile drainage and flows directly into the nearest waterway. The water also carries fertilizer nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus, which can degrade water quality. A new 12-year study looked at what happens if, instead of flowing directly into the waterway, it drains into a constructed wetland, which acts as a filter. Maria Lemke is with the Nature Conservancy in Illinois and led the study.
They can remove nitrate. We found over a 12-year period, about 15 to 38%.
She says the study proves that more financial incentives should be directed to farmers for these constructed wetlands. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
The Illinois State Board of Education will not be making any changes to federally mandated high-stakes testing for now. The state was considering changing the spring test for 3rd to 8th graders and breaking it into three shorter ones throughout the year. But State Superintendent Carmen Ayala says the current assessment will remain as the state focuses on academic recovery and social-emotional learning.
This pandemic has taken lots of twists and turns, and so as soon as we are settled, we're back into some form of normalcy, then I think we can bring this back.
Educators shared feedback that test preparation eats up instructional time and results don't come back quick enough to be useful in the classroom. Ayala says those issues likely will not be addressed until the state revisits overhauling the testing program at a later date. On Wednesday night, about 20 local cyclists embarked on a silent bike ride to honor those who have been killed or injured while biking on public roads. Illinois Newsroom's Sydney Wood has more.
The Ride of Silence is a global event that began in 2003. It honors cyclists who were killed by motorists and promotes biker safety on public roads. Organizer Susan Jones says Champaign-Urbana began holding its own Ride of Silence around 10 years ago after a distracted driver hit cyclists Cindy and David Combs. Cindy died and David was critically injured. Jones says the silent ride is a reminder for motorists to respect and pay more attention to bikers who use public roadways.
In a way, this is about trying to convince people that their little split seconds decisions can be life or death to somebody else who's just using the road to get where they need to go.
Before the cyclists began the silent ride, they took a moment to honor and name local bikers who were killed by motorists. I'm Sydney Wood, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign police and city officials this morning will honor officers who lost their lives in the line of duty. The annual police memorial ceremony comes 1 year and 1 day after Officer Christopher Oberheim was shot and killed while responding to a domestic disturbance call. Oberheim was 44 years old and left behind a wife and four daughters. He was the third Champaign police officer to be killed while on duty and the first since Robert Tatman in 1967. Today's ceremony starts at 9 o'clock a.m. at Westside Park in Champaign. Still to come, we'll travel to western Kansas to see how some smaller companies are bringing high-speed internet access to remote areas. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
In a new suspenseful series from Masterpiece, Unforgotten's Nicola Walker stars as detective investigator Annika Stranded, the head of Glasgow's newly formed Marine Homicide Unit. In this witty police procedural series, Annika has to juggle murder cases at sea and a rebellious teenage daughter at home. The series delighted critics during its recent broadcast in the United Kingdom. Annika's 6 episodes are available to view now with WILL Passport. Learn how you can watch it at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Despite years of federal funding and initiatives, high-speed internet remains out of reach for millions of rural Americans. Most big broadband companies say it's just not profitable enough to connect remote places. But as David Kondos reports, some smaller local broadband providers are finding ways to get rural customers connected in places the telecom giants have left behind.
Matt Stout is a farmer and rancher in southwest Kansas and lives off a dirt road, 1 mile from his nearest neighbor. His best-case scenarios for internet speeds have been just a few megabits per second, way slower than what most people in cities would even consider internet.
Living out in the country is nice for some things, and then you pay for it in other areas.
It's estimated that 42 million Americans still don't have high-speed internet. And in places like Western Kansas, the reason is obvious. It's hard and expensive to wire a small number of people spread out in the country. With fiber optic cable costing tens of thousands of dollars per mile, the chances of AT&T or Comcast showing up at Stout's door are slim to none.
Door's kinda heavy.
But then one day last year, Stout saw a white pole sticking out of his yard. A locally owned rural Kansas broadband company called Ideatech had buried a fiber line along his dirt road.
Right here, just all the way to town, right down this road ditch. My house just happened to be right on the sweet spot.
So today, after 8 years of spotty slow connection, Stout is getting gigabit speeds that rival any city in the U.S. Inside Stout's house, Ideatech's John Osborne is running a thin yellow wire from the wall to a box behind a TV. This is just one of the dozens of fiber installations he's done recently around here, making him a popular guy.
I get handshakes and hugs, and it's nice to be able to walk in town after doing this and see your customer, you know, and they're just all smiles.
Ideatech's focus on Southwest Kansas is an example of the growing number of American small towns, farms, and ranches finally joining the broadband age, thanks to local internet providers taking a stake in the rural communities they call home. So how are these small local companies able to solve a problem that telecom giants haven't? While government subsidies help, the biggest difference is that the local companies view it as their mission to connect their neighbors, even if it's not a big moneymaker. In a lot of ways, what they're doing mirrors the rural telephone co-ops that connected farm towns to the outside world a century ago. In fact, some of the local broadband companies in western Kansas started out doing just that. Catherine Moyer heads up Pioneer Communications, which was founded by local farmers as a telephone co-op in 1950. It now has about 10,000 internet customers, and 3 out of 4 of them have fiber. She says the fact that Pioneer is small and local is exactly what gives it the flexibility to spend money on what its communities need rather than what will turn the most profit.
Well, we need to make money to, you know, continue to exist. We don't answer to Wall Street. We don't answer to shareholders. You know, we have member owners.
University of Virginia professor Christopher Alley studies rural broadband policy. He says that community-focused mission makes local companies the best hope for wiring rural America, and that the big national players have failed to deliver on their rural broadband promises, even after getting billions in federal funding. For locally owned companies, seeing their communities succeed over the long term is a big part of their return on investment. So if they can at least break even spending $20,000 on a mile of fiber, they'll do it.
If you think about it as an investment in the community versus how much time are you going to need to recoup your return on investment, that's two very different ways of looking at that $20,000.
So now we're just going to pull up something.
Back at Matt Stout's farm, the big moment is finally here.
Instantly.
The wires are hooked up, the Wi-Fi's on, and a quick speed test shows that his internet is now running more than 150 times faster than it was this morning.
With today's reliance on emails and Zoom calls and all that, it's nothing short of life-changing, really.
And with billions in new federal broadband subsidies on the way, just how much goes to local companies rather than national ones could decide how many more rural Americans get to experience a day like this in the near future.
That's insane.
In Ford County, Kansas, I'm David Kondos.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly sunny and breezy today with a high of 88 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Dana Cronin, Susie Ahn, Sydney Wood, and David Kondos. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.